Thanks, John. Thanks, Rob. Being a grandpa is not a bad thing. I totally endorse that plan. Becoming a grandfather is the best thing I ever did. Oh, I see our daughter and some of our grandsons in the back row there, are in the back section. Yeah. Well, it was a grandfather who came to his pulpit in a church in Detroit. And he said this to his people. My king is a seven-way king. He's king of the Jews, that's a national king. He's king of Israel, that's a racial king. He's king of righteousness, he's king of the ages. He's king of heaven, he's king of glory. He's king of kings, he's Lord of lords. Well, that's my king. Do you know him today? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impartially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Well, that's my king. Do you know him today? He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental of doctrine of all true theology. He's the absolute necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the ages. He is, yes, he is, the superlative of anything good you can choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be the all-sufficient Savior. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives the sinner. He discharges the debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged and he rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him today? My king is the king, the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him today? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Oh, I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they soon found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate could find no fault in him. The witnesses could not get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? I was once told by a person. Brad, when you have a chance to speak on a special occasion, when you have a chance to be before a group of people in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, tell them the most important thing that you know. And that's what I intend to do today. I intend to tell you the most important thing I know. I know something that's great. In fact, what I know that's great is so great that it can only be called the surpassing greatness. Jesus prayed about it for us in John 17, and the apostle wrote about it in Philippians 3. The greatest thing that I know, something that is so great that it can only be called the surpassing greatness. In Jesus' prayer in John 17 and verse 3, he says, "Now, this is the eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that you may know him, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." Do you know him today? And in Philippians, the third chapter at verse 7, oh my goodness, listen to what this apostle writes to these people in Philippi. He says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, and being like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead." What is it? What is eternal life? It is knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And what is the surpassing greatness? What is that one thing for which the apostle says, everything else is rubbish, everything else is lost, everything else is nothing? What really counts? That I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and be made like him in his sufferings. That is the surpassing greatness. That's the one great thing I know, and it's what this church promotes. That we may know Christ and that people in our community may come to know the Christ. Now, it's kind of difficult, really, to speak about knowing Christ, because it's not the same thing as knowing about Christ. Oh no, it is not that at all. We all know about Christ. That's not the question. Do we know Christ? I know a lot about Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, but I don't know them. I know about them, but I don't know them. What I want for you today is that you come to know Christ. That's what really counts. It is the surpassing greatness. How much do you want to know him? Do you want to know him as much as a person who perishes from thirst wants water? Do you want to know him as much as a person who's starving to death seeks food? Jesus said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for a right relationship with me, for they will be satisfied." How much do you want to know him? What's the driving force for you? Are you open to that possibility? We're proposing here a rather amazing thing. We're saying that it is possible for a person in the year 2015 in Jessamine County, Kentucky, in Central County, Kentucky, of Kentucky, to know the Christ as a living reality, as a present force in your daily life. How much do you want to know him? January the 1st, this year, Lexington Herald Leader, front page story. Stampede kills 35 at New Year's Eve event. Remember that? Remember that story? Shanghai, China. 35 people killed in a stampede. What? What were they stampeding for? Someone in a high-rise building was throwing out coupons. And somebody said, these coupons are really American dollars. And it created such a stampede that 35 people were killed in that stampede and numbers of others were injured by that. They wanted those American dollars. That was what the driving force pushing them. What's the driving force that's pushing you? What's the greatest thing you know? Paul says the surpassing greatness is knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. You'll have peace with God as you come to know him. Listen to what the Old Testament prophet says in Jeremiah 23-24. Listen to what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But him who boasts, let him boast in this, that he knows me, that he knows the Lord. I'm the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. Of what is your boast? Not the rich man boasting in his riches, or the strong man boasting in his strength, or the wise man boasting in his wisdom. Anyone who boasts, let him boast in this, that he knows the Lord. Now, my wife and I are both UK graduates, Wildcat fans. Barbara, you stand up. The researchers wonder why there's such a high incidence of heart disease and heart attacks in Kentucky. It's not the fried chicken. It's the Wildcats. Oh, they create a lot of excitement around here. And they put us through the ringers, don't they? And we're eager for them to do well. But what do we really care about? What's the driving passion of our life? How would you come to know God? Well, he's made the first move. He's made the first move in the sending of his son. He has opened the door for that possibility that you may come to know the Lord as a living presence in your life. He's inviting you to come to know him through Jesus Christ our Lord, which would lead you to peace. But how do you get from here to there? Well, let me mention a few things. First, you have to receive the Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe you have not. You need to make a decision that you want to give your life to the Christ, obey him, believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing his holy name verbally, being obedient in Christian baptism, and rising to walk in a newness of life with all your sins forgiven. That's the first part. Coming to know him means that you have received him, that you have obeyed the plan of salvation. You have responded to him to accept him. When Jesus came in his own time, the Bible says that he came to his own people and his own did not receive him. But to those who did receive him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God, to those who received him. But it cannot end there. It cannot end with the baptism. It has to go forward. There's more to come. You grow. After you're newborn, after you're born again, born in Christ, you have to grow or you won't be healthy. You have to thrive. How do you do that? Well, here are some spiritual disciplines that will help you mature and help you grow in knowing Him every day. One of them, of course, is the knowledge of the Bible, of God's Word. This is our treasure. Know it, learn it, study it, drink it down, come to know God's Word. That is one of the disciplines. Another discipline is your prayer life, and we've talked about that quite a bit today in this service. And your prayer, which says, it says, without ceasing, how are you going to do that? Well, it doesn't mean going off into a corner and standing on your knees all the time. What it means is that you have an ongoing dialogue with God. An ongoing dialogue with God. Whether you are waking up in the morning, you are aware that God is there. Whether you are sitting at your table, whether you're driving your automobile, you're not alone. You are not alone. You have an ongoing dialogue with God, which is called prayer. Knowing God, another discipline is that you include Him in your decisions. When you have something to decide, you have some options. This way or that way, shall I do this or that, go here or go there, that you consider and seek, what is God's will for me? Should I do this or should I do that? Knowing God also requires faithfulness in church, faithfulness in worship, fulfilling your duties in worship, agreeing to participate and being responsible. Growing in Him, knowing Him, means in your faithfulness in worship that you observe the communion of the Lord's Supper, and you do so with great appreciation and thankfulness and reverence for what God has done on the cross through Jesus Christ. Another discipline is your willing service. Your service in the name of Jesus in the community, in the church, but also in the community. I served the Northside Church in Georgetown for several months when they were in between ministers, the Northside Christian Church. One of the things they did there is something like I think you do here. They had a program called RAKE, R-A-K-E, Random Acts of Kindness. They went out into the community on a given day and performed practical work jobs for people who had signed up need something. Now, these people they were helping were not from the church. The people doing the helping were from the church, but the ones being helped were not from the church. They went out, they built ramps for wheelchairs for people in their homes and painted fences and cleaned out brush and did yard work and so on. Well, the day we were to do that, there was a big rainstorm. So we had to put it off a week. So when the day actually came, one of the teams went out to do their job. Their assignment was to go to this old lady's apartment and vacuum, shampoo her carpets. They were going to clean her carpets. When they got there a week later than they were supposed to be there, she didn't come to the door. They didn't know why. They pushed on the door and found that it was not locked. And they went on in and found this old lady laying on the floor where she had fallen the night before. She would have laid there indefinitely had someone not found her. She couldn't get up. She had her walker there, but it was out of her reach. They were able to help her get up. If they'd gone the day they were supposed to go, then what would have happened to this woman? What I'm trying to say to you is it's a God thing. It's a God thing when you're out there doing service like that in the community. I went by to see her. I never knew this lady, and no one in the church really knew her, but somehow they'd made the contact that she needed her carpet shampooed. I went by to see her that week and got acquainted with her a little bit. And I said, now, is there anyone who checks on you? And she says, oh, yes, my grandson works in Frankfurt. And he will check on me every time I call him. That's not the same thing, is it? I says, let's see about getting a life alert system for you. I said, your grandson can help you get that. And there's a way that you need a life alert system. Well, she says, I'll talk to him about that. But what I'm saying is, as we serve, whatever the service might be, if it's in the name of our Lord, it helps us grow and it builds our faith. Spiritual disciplines, the Bible, prayer, including him in your decisions, faithfulness in worship, faithfulness in service, and never give up. Don't give up, Catalyst. Don't give up. Satan will whisper into you and say, there's no use. Or Satan will whisper in your ear and say, there is no hurry. Or Satan will whisper in your ear and he'll say, there is no God. But I'm saying to you, never give up. There's a surpassing greatness. Something is so great that it's only to be called surpassing greatness, and that is knowing Christ. Knowing him in the big events of your life, knowing him in the everyday events of your life, knowing God. For Jesus said, this is eternal life. It starts now. Eternal life starts now. That you may know God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I had a dream a while back, and I don't pay much attention to dreams. Did you dream anything last night? Well, the researchers tell us that we all dream every night. And we don't remember those dreams. The only dreams we remember are the dreams, they say, the researchers say, are the dreams we have right at the point of waking up. And that's what we might remember. Well, I had a dream once, and I haven't forgotten this one. Of any dream I've ever dreamed, I've forgotten all of them, except this one. And I was preaching someplace in a church, not a church where I'd ever been, didn't recognize any of the place, any of the building. There was a pretty good congregation there that day, large crowd. I didn't know any of them. They were all strangers to me. There was one woman back there in a wheelchair, kind of an older lady. And I started to preach. And she interrupted me in my sermon. And she called out and said, take us to the cross. Startled me a little bit. On with my manuscript, my carefully prepared message. And once again, she said, take us to the cross. Startled me again, and sort of stumbled around. And once again, she said, take us to the cross. And she pulled herself up out of the wheelchair, holding on to the edge of the pew, and was able to stand up. And the congregation started to stand with her. And they began to chant in unison, take us to the cross. Well, that's what I would like to do today with you, because that is the surpassing greatness. It's Jesus on the cross. Let me tell you something. You can't get him off of your hand, and you can't get him out of your mind, and you can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. And the Pharisees could find no fault in him. Pilate could find no fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? If you don't know him today, let's come and receive him. Let me have a prayer with you now.